إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويوم يعض الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا، يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله فلينظر من يخالل، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, if a person studies the Quran passionately, then he will safely arrive at this conclusion that Allah Rabbul Izzat has not warned us nor cautioned us against anything as much as Allah has warned us and cautioned us about the supreme horror of the day of Qiyamah. At times Allah made reference to this day by saying Yawmuddin, the day of recompense. At times Allah made reference to this day by saying Yawm al-Jam'i, the day when humanity in its entirety will converge and congregate. At times Allah made reference to it by saying Yawm al-Taghabun, Yawm al-Talaq, Yawm al-Azifa, wa anzirhum Yawm al-Azifa. That is why one Sahabi told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Araka shibta ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah, it looks like age is catching up with you. According to authentic riwayat, it suggests that there were 19 strands of white hair on the blessed hair and beard of Nabi alayhi salam before he left this world. So this Sahabi said, O Nabi of Allah, it looks like age is catching up with you. Nabi alayhi salam said, yes, shayyabatni al-hudu wa akhawatuha. It is the frightening description of Qiyamah in Surah Hud that makes my hair white. Today you and I have various reasons why we age. At times out of politics, at times out of depression, frustration, whatever else it is. But the Nabi of Allah says, yes, the strands of white hair is as a result of the fear of Qiyamah. Amongst the many names that Allah has given of Qiyamah, one such name that Allah makes reference in the Quran is وَأَنذِرُهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَ. Allah refers to Qiyamah as the day of true regret. The day when inevitably every human would be engulfed in regret, lamenting, remorsing. To such an extent that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even a jannati who will enter into Jannah, who was triumphant and successful, yet he would lament those moments where he was negligent, oblivious, and unmindful of his Creator. If the Nabi of Allah goes on to say, a jannati will regret the time not spent in the remembrance of Allah, can the words of any language perhaps express what would be the regret of that person whose abode will be Jahannam, Allah save one and all? So Allah makes reference to Qiyamah as the day of regret. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. Various places in the Quran Allah makes mention of this, where man will say, I wish I had done this. Before a man leaving this world, perhaps ask him in his heart what is his regret. He perhaps will tell you, I haven't left behind enough for my children. I haven't given them any education sufficient. But after he went into the grave and the reality of the new world opened to him, now ask him, do you maintain the same regrets or have your regrets changed with regards to your children? Do you still have the same regrets that you didn't give your child this and you didn't give him that? Or after you've seen the true picture, have you changed your view? So Allah says, man will say, Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati. I wish I had secured an abode for me in Jannah. I wish I had sent forth for me something in Akhirat. Ya laytana ata'na Allah wa ata'na Rasula. I wish I had obeyed Allah and His Nabi. Yawma idhi yatadhakkaru al-insan. On that day when man will ponder, reflect and introspect. وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَى. But his reflection will be to no avail. His introspection will be to no avail. So brothers, in essence, as I mentioned, one of the names of Qiyamah is the day of regret. True regret. But of course it will be of no avail. Today I want to single out one aspect of regret, which the Quran makes mention about, where a person would regret one particular thing. One is a person misusing his time will regret it. A person misusing his sight will regret it. But there's a certain form of regret that the Quran makes explicit, emphatic mention about, and that is in the ayat-e-karima that I have recited before you. Allah speaks about an incident of a kafir in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيَوْمَ يَعَظُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. There was a kafir by the name of Ubay ibn Khalaf in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, and he was a staunch enemy of the Muslims. He had caused a lot of pain and discomfort to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Under the commentary of this ayat, وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنًا سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالِ أَوْ قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ أَوْ كُلِّمَ بِهِ الْمَوْتَى. Where this very same kafir came and made baseless request to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that by virtue of this Quran, let the mountains move. By virtue of the Quran, let us speak to the deceased. By virtue of the Quran, let us enjoy the miracle that was given to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah said, this man's heart is so deviated from truth, even if I was to comply and fulfill his request, still too, he will not accept the truth. So one day he invited all the Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, that was the name of the kafir, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id. He had returned from a certain place, and it was common amongst the Arabs, you know, hospitality was an outstanding salient quality. So when he returned from this particular venture and trip of these, he said, I wish to invite all the high profile people of Makkah just for a feast, entertain them, and then they can continue. So amongst the people he invited was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of courtesy, accepted his invitation and responded to his da'wah. When these influential, high-profile personnel had gathered at his house, and the Nabi of Allah, the master of both the worlds, was also present at the table, and there were these other kuffar that were also present, and the food was presented, and it was time now to eat, the Nabi of Allah politely declined, and he said, look here, I will not eat until you do not believe in the oneness of Allah. Now, if a person is passionate about entertaining his guests, then it's really an offense that you invite someone to your house, and he doesn't eat, you would really be hurt about it, you will be offended about it. So this person, when the Nabi of Allah made this request, he politely agreed, and he recited the kalima in the presence of Nabi alayhi salam, as well as these kuffar. He said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy, delighted, pleased, and the Nabi of Allah ate from the meal. After the meal was over and they had dispersed, this particular kafir, that is Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, who was the host of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had close relation with another friend of his, and his name was Ubay ibn Khalaf. And that is what I want to speak about today, the regret over bad company on the day of Qiyamah that Allah speaks about. Often we have found that because a person got involved in the wrong circle of friends, at this juncture where many of us perhaps have to make a choice in the academic decision of our children, that in the interest of our children, in the future year of our children, in the education of our children, let us not be those parents who make a decision to secure the material benefit of our children, risking the Islamic future. Let us not do that. Wallah, every human in this time is sufficiently vulnerable. We do not have to extend the vulnerability of our children. Every person inevitably is vulnerable and exposed. That does not extend their vulnerability by putting them in a place where they will associate and affiliate with people who have no concept of Allah. And this Quran will now explain. Brothers, the thing that always bothers me, perhaps someone else can relate with it, is a thought that always crosses my mind, is, Ya Allah, who will be present at my janazah? And my desire is, and my dua is, I often make to Allah, Allah, let the learned be present, Allah. Allah, let the pious be at my janazah. And you will find that it is a man's social circle of friends that would attend his funeral. Perhaps you might be a high profile person. You have contacts in the parliament. You might enjoy a state funeral. You might enjoy a state funeral and it might be publicized across the world. But there is not one person who can attract Allah's mercy in your janazah. Wallah, you are devoid totally. But on the contrary, how wonderful it is if we, our friends, will so associate with those who attract the mercy of Allah, whose affiliation and association will benefit us on the day of Qiyamah. Nevertheless, let's not digress and keep focus on this topic. This kafir, this host of Nabi Sassam, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, after a few days, his friend heard about this. So his friend came to him and he told him, I believe you've abandoned your faith and you've accepted the new creed of Islam. He says, no, nothing like that. It just, that was, you know, just in a passing statement, I invited the man. He insisted that I read the kalima. So to impress the man, I mean, he was at my house. I didn't want to offend him. I just said, La ilaha illallah. But I haven't taken it seriously. I am still with you and I have not accepted Islam. Here comes in the aspect of peer pressure. His friend tells him, no, I am not convinced. Like they say, peer pressure leads to beer pressure. And beer pressure leads to blood pressure. Here comes in the aspect of peer pressure. He says, I am not convinced. And brothers, let us not think that this is only related to youth. I have seen often people got in the habit of smoking because they are associating with smokers. Wallahi, it is the social circle of friends that you will choose for yourself that would frame your thinking. Nabi alayhi salam says in the riwayat of Bukhari, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi. It is often that a man follows the faith and the thinking pattern of his friend. So, O my sahaba, be wise when you select your friends. Be wise when you select with whom you deal. Before you select a house in a particular area and you look at it, profit-wise, material-wise, the zoning area, look at the neighborhood there. My children will be growing up in this neighborhood. Would they be seeing people that are conscious of Allah? Would this environment conscientize them of the Creator? Muhammad ibn Munkadir rahimahumullah used to say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَحْفَظْ بِالرَّجُلِ الصَّالِحِ وَلَدَهُ وَوَلَدَ وَلَدِهِ وَالدُّوَيْرَاتُ الَّتِي حَوْلَهُ. That by the piety of one man, Allah will safeguard himself, his family, and even the neighborhood in which he lives. So really, among many factors that should attract a Muslim to purchase a house in a particular location should be the presence of learned and pious people. So anyway, his friend told him, I heard you have accepted Islam. He says, no, I haven't accepted. The man insisted, I read the kalima. His friend told him, if you do not go and spit on the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, until and unless you will not do that, I will not be convinced that you have only merely uttered the kalima. And as far as I am concerned, you're a Muslim. And if you want that we re-accept you in our family and our friends, then this is what you will have to do to excel, to convince me. To convince me that you go and spit on the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then and then only will we accept you back in our circle of friends. Now often this is, they have what they call the initiation procedure. Many times where people get enrolled in certain institutions and they go through a procedure of initiation. Imagine, what can you say of the morals of a society where one has to excel in evil to gain fame, to gain recognition, to be part of that clique. Anyway, this person, because of the pressure from his friend, Allah alone knows, I don't know how this wretched, nasty, evil man could come and spit on that face the Quran, regarding which the Quran takes qasams. Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, لَنَا شَمْسٌ وَلِلْآفَاتِ شَمْسٌ وَشَمْسِي خَيْرٌ مِّن شَمْسِ السَّمَاءِ. One is the sun that brightens the world, we see it rising in the horizon, and one is my Nabi that brightens this place here. She says, my Nabi radiates more light. That sun brightens half the world, the other half is in darkness. My Nabi radiates light 24 hours. This man comes and spits on that face. Now Allah draws the picture and he shows his friend, I have abandoned him. I'm with you, O my friend. I salute you, I revere you, I honor you. Allah says on the day of Qiyamah, when some people of this ummah, Allah safeguard one and all, will have to go into Jahannam for a period of time as a purification against their sins, as a purification, as an atonement for the wrong that they have done. And then while these Muslims will be in Jahannam, the kuffar will make a comment. And the kuffar will say, مَا أَغْنَى عَنْكُمْ إِيمَانُكُمْ. But you said you were Muslims and salvation and paradise is yours and fire is our lot and destruction is our lot. You believed in Allah, we denied Allah, but here we sit together in Jahannam. When this statement will be made, it will enrage Allah. It will anger Allah. أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ جَتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَن نَجْعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. To the kuffar field, we will equate them to the believers. When this statement will be made, Allah will order that every person who had uttered the kalima even once in his life must be taken out of Jahannam. And all these people from this ummah who had violated, transgressed the limits of Allah and were serving a period of purification in Jahannam will be taken out of Jahannam. At this time, when they will be taken out of Jahannam, then the kafir will look and say, رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. Then look at these people. They did not obey Allah. And they did not live a life in compliance to the dictates of this kalima. But today the mere utterance of this word is also availing them. They had just verbally uttered it and that is also securing them and bringing them shelter. I wish I had also said the kalima once in my life, it would have availed me. Now when this will be the regret of a man who had not said the kalima, when he will see the benefit of the kalima, can words describe the regret of that kafir, this person, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayd? When he will see the value of the kalima, then he will point to this friend of his and he will say, Ya Allah, but I said this kalima. I was on this truth. I was going towards guidance. Allah, why did I ever meet up with this friend in my life? He ruined me. Ya laytani attakhadtu, ya waylata laytani lam attakhid fulanan khalila. I don't have the vocabulary. I swear by Allah, I don't have, my vocabulary is inadequate to do justice to the explanation of this ayat of the Quran. this kafir will look at this friend, and every form of curse that you can level against a friend, he will level. He will say, oh Allah, this is my friend. Why did I ever meet him in my life? Allah, he took me away from you. I said the kalima. I was that close to Jannat, but because of peer pressure from him, he took me away and he swayed me from the path of truth. And then he will say, oh Allah, since I have to be punished as well as him, the only way I can satisfy myself is to ask you, whatever torment you have prescribed for me, oh Allah, double the torment for this friend of mine. رَبَّنَا إِنَّا أَتَعْنَا سَادَتَنَا وَكُبَرَاءَنَا فَأَضَلُّونَ السَّبِيلَ. And then Allah says, وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. At this juncture, when this man will be cursing, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. Every form of friendship on the day of Qiyamah will be converted into enmity, with the exception of that friendship that was in the name of Allah. وَيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكْفُرُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Allah, this friend never told me about you. Allah, this friend never made me conscious of you. Allah says all forms of friendship will be converted into enmity, with the exception of the friendship on the name of Allah. Another explanation, brothers, we can explore this topic. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى. A kafir by the name of Walid ibn Mughira. He comes and he sits in the company of Nabi alayhi salam. He's impressed by the discourses of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he's on the verge of accepting Islam. A friend comes to him, he says, I believe you've recited the kalima. Often we find this, that these are the type of people that would come and take us away and you know, infiltrate and put evil thoughts in our hearts and our minds. I believe you've decided to accept the kalima. He says, you know, I've heard the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am a very eloquent person in Arabic, but he's really impressed me in the speech he has. These are not the words of poetry. These are something divine words. And by the way, the punishment he speaks about is indeed very frightening. So I thought that I want to abandon a life of evil and embrace a life of compliance and servitude to the Creator. So his friend tells him, you know what? Why are you getting so afraid? Whatever punishment he's talking about, I will divert it from you in the Akhirah. You just pay me monthly in this world. This is the reference of the ayat in Tafsir al-Uthmani. Brothers, it might seem as a joke today. But wallah, today what is happening in our social friends? How many people got involved with a certain friend? They gave up namaz. They got involved in sports. I'm not saying sports is wrong, but not at the cost of forsaking your deen. They got involved in zina. They got involved in interest. Why? Because they met up with this friend. They met up with this person here. That is why the Nabi of Allah said, be selective in who you choose regarding your friendship. That is the way that you will direct yourself. And that is why I'm saying at this juncture, while we wish to paint the future and draw the plan of our children for the academic year, let us not extend their vulnerability by putting them in places where they will associate and affiliate. Then tomorrow at the janazah, wallah, there will be non-Muslim people paying their respects at your janazah or the janazah of your son. But rather associate with those people who are the friends of Allah. So anyway, he started paying this man monthly. He started paying this man monthly that this man will divert his azab. And after a little while, he said, no, man, I can't keep on paying you also. It doesn't make much sense. He left that friend also and he did not accept Islam. Allah revealed the verse. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى وَأَعْطَى قَلِيلًا وَأَكْدَى أَعِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ فَهُوَ يَرَى. Have you seen the foolishness? The absurdity of such a man that relies on a person who has no knowledge, who cannot divert the torment from himself, trust his friend and abandons Islam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, O Nabi of Allah, which is our best friend? What is the definition of a good friend? Allah says, لَا تَتَّخِذُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَكُمْ هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا. Do not befriend those people who mock at your Islam. Imagine that person who is laughing at Islam, who from his heart, his hatred for Islam is evident. I'm not saying cut off social ties. I'm not saying do not interact for business reasons. But I'll say there are so many Muslims who consider their functions incomplete until they don't have the presence of kafirs. Their function is incomplete. The best table is afforded to the kuffar that are present. And that gives pleasure. That gives them a prestigious issue, an image of their, that now the function is complete. Exclusive table to kuffar is that Allah touches your feelings. And Allah says, how can you befriend? Like someone tells you, how can you be a friend to a man who swears your mother? Allah says, how can you befriend the one that mocks at your Nabi, mocks at your Quran, and from his heart he hates you and hates the Ummah? لا تتخذوا الذين اتخذوا لا تساكنوا المشركين ولا تجامعوهم فمن ساكنهم أو جامعهم فهو منهم. Do not associate with them. Do not get together in outings with them. Do not have personal activities with them. Rather, what did the Nabi of Allah say? لا يأكل طعامك إلا تقي. Let the pious eat your food. Nabi alayhi salam has taught us that if you go to someone's house and you eat, what dua should you make for him? أفطر عندكم الصائمون. You have fed me, my dua is may Allah make it that pious people break their fast at your house. وَأَكَلَ طَعَامَكُمُ الْأَبْرَارِ. And may Allah send all His pious servants to your house. وَصَلَّتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And let the malaika descend their blessings upon you. So the question is, brothers, in essence, what is the definition of a good friend? Allah says the Yahud are not your friends. The Nasara are not your friends. But then look at the beauty of the Quran. The question might arise, Allah, have you left us without friends? Allah says, no, you have the best replacement, the best substitute. There is not your friend. Allah commences the relation and Allah says, I am your friend. Innama waliyukum Allah. Allah initiates the relation. Allah says, I'm not telling you to initiate, I'm initiating it. What did my Nabi say? لو كنت متخذا خليلا غير ربي لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا. If I was to choose anyone for my friendship besides my Allah, I would have chosen Abu Bakr. But the friendship I have with my Allah has covered my entire heart. If I was to choose anyone for my friendship besides my Allah, I would have chosen Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr is my companion, but my friend is Allah. So what does the Nabi of Allah then say? لَيْتَكَ تَحْلُو وَالْحَيَاةُ مَرِيرًا وَلَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْأَنَامُ غِضَابُ. I also accept the pressure of my peer. Of course, we cannot say peer pressure, but rather I also accept the love of my Allah. And what does the Nabi of Allah say? لَيْتَكَ تَحْلُو وَالْحَيَاةُ مَرِيرًا. Oh Allah, I wish my relation with you remains sweet, even if it demands that my relation with the entire creation becomes sour. وَلَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْأَنَامُ غِضَابُ. And Wallah, I wish that you be happy with me, even if it demands that the entire creation be angry with me. فَإِنْ سَحَّ مِنْكَ الْوُدُّ فَالْكُلُّ هَيِّنُ. Oh my Allah, if you are happy, what do I lack? And if you are angry, what do I have? Oh my Allah, if you are happy, what more do I need? And if you are angry, what do I possess? لَيْتَكَ تَحْلُو. So the Nabi of Allah was asked, who is a best friend? Let's have a definition of good friend. One is you say, well, the man takes me camping, he takes my children out in, but he never made your children perform salah. Brothers, wallah, take it to heart, with who are your friends, with who are your children socializing? The Nabi of Allah says, three qualities will define your best friend. Man dhakkarakumu Allah ru'yatuhu. That friend of yours, whose very appearance reminds you of Allah. When you look at that man, it reminds you that there is a creator above you. His appearance, his conduct, his knowledge, it conscientizes you. The manner in which he conducts himself, definitely there is Allah. Definitely there is accountability. How honest this man is, his honesty is conveying and transmitting a message. That is why the ulama say, the best that any brother could benefit any brother was Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. One is a friend that benefits you in material. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah sends him to Fir'aun. Musa alayhi salam makes a request to Allah. وَأَخِي هَارُونُ هُوَ أَفْسَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا. That, oh Allah, my brother Harun is more eloquent in his speech, and Fir'aun is a tyrant ruler. I have a stuttering problem. Perhaps when I present in his court, it would be more difficult for me to, you know, express myself audibly. So kindly send my brother Harun. On the request of Musa alayhi salam, Allah approved his request, and Allah then crowned his brother with prophethood. That is why the ulama say, no brother has benefited any brother. My brother perhaps can get me married, get me a shop, get me a job. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam got his brother to become a Nabi of Allah. That is why Musa alayhi salam is also referred to as Hibatullah, the gift of Allah. Allah made him a gift to Musa. So what is your best friend? This is the description of your best friend. Understand who are your friend from your foe. Wallah, when we have lost the very skills of differentiating between friend and foe, we will embrace our enemy and we will shun the one that is kind to us. That person whose sight reminds you of Allah. وَزَادَ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْتِقُهُ. And when he speaks, your knowledge of Allah increases. There are many people we can point to. You want to know politics, you speak to that man. You want to know dollar and rand, you speak to that man. You want to know export and import, you talk to that man. You want to know what's the retail market. Are there people that we can say, you want to know Allah, join that man's company. Let your children play with that man, your child will learn Allah. That Sayyidina Yahya at tender age, the children said, come, let us go play now. He says, but Allah hasn't created us for playing. Allah hasn't created us. Do we associate? We are not saying abandon sports. All we are asking the youth of today, and we are asking the professionals of this gathering also, play whatever you want to play. But at the time of salah, let the people know that your deen comes first. Your faith comes first. It is your salah that will dominate and shape your life. Wherever you are, let us hold the ball there. Even if you are on the verge of scoring a goal, come boys, let's put the ball one side. Let's perform our salah. Let our friends and our children associate with such people. That person who when he speaks, your knowledge of Allah increases. Allah forgive, we are such friends that when people, even if they're thinking of Allah, when they look at us, they forget Allah. A man looks at you and he says, you know what, I reminded me when I got to go take my car to the mechanic. He was making zikr, he looked at you, he started thinking of something else. And the Nabi of Allah says, that man who's thinking of something else, but when he looks at you, it reminds him, you know what, I have to make my salah. It reminds him, I have to recite my Quran. And the third person, وَذَكَّرَكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُهُ. The third quality, the manner in which he conducts himself, it reminds you of accountability. He is so meticulous, so honest, so precise, so conscious, so caring in every aspect and facet of his life that, you know, at this juncture, nobody was watching him. This man is definitely conscious of a supreme being. So the manner in which he conducts himself reminds you of the fact of accountability before Allah. May Allah Ta'ala instill within us these qualities that we can become a manifestation and reflection. Brothers, the Quran speaks of a dog. Islam prohibits keeping a dog as a pet other than for security reasons. But one dog that took the company of 7 pious friends of Allah, Ashabi Kahf, the friends of Allah. Allah makes mention of this dog in the Quran in acknowledgement that this dog, which is an inferior creation to man, but set in the company of pious people. Imam Abu Hanifa, who enjoyed the privilege of making 50 hajj, who enjoyed the privilege of seeing Allah 99 times in a dream, who enjoyed the privilege of reciting the Quran 6,000 times in his life, often used to say, "Uhibbu as-salihin wa lastu minhum." I love the pious, although I cannot claim piety. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُنِي صَلَاحًا. But by my affiliation with them, as I mentioned it previous, perhaps I terminate my talk with it. If something goes wrong in my car, I have contact with enough mechanics. If something goes wrong with my child's health, I have contact with competent surgeons. But when there is a janazah in my house, I don't have contact with one friend of Allah. I don't have a personal interaction with one family alim that I can call him. I have contacts with everyone in the business, in politics, in sports, in everything, in the visas, in the embassies. But when there is a janazah in my house, I don't know one personal alim that I can say, Maulana, with whom we enjoy a family relation. Sahaba says, we asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when is Qiyamah? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, what have you prepared? We said, we haven't prepared much, but I promise you, I love you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you love me, you are with me. Sahaba says, we were never so happy like this when the Nabi of Allah said that we will enjoy the closeness of those that we love. We conclude by saying, oh Allah, favor us with your true love. Say Ameen, brothers. Allahumma rizuqna hubbak wa hubba nabiyyik. Oh Allah, bless us with your love, the love of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa hubbu man yanfa'u hubbuhu, and the love of that person whose love will benefit us in your courts. Allah bless us with your love, the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the love of those people whose love will avail us, benefit us, and help us on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah Ta'ala inspire us all with the reality of what was said. Wa akhiru da'wana.